Well, good morning, everyone. Hope Church, Hope at Home. The boss is back in town. I'm thinking about chaining myself to the pulpit right now. I don't want to give it up. No, I'm just kidding. What a great summer it's been. I'm so glad you guys got to have some rest. We really wanted that for you, and we are so thankful. The staff is so thankful for the opportunity. Pastor Zach and myself and my wife, Destiny, our secretary, thank you so much for the opportunity to run stuff and for the summer. What a great summer it's been. We're excited to get back into the story. We started it last week. And so today, we're going to be in chapter 23. I want to ask you a question, or maybe just say a statement here. 826 million, okay, physical copies of books sold last year. That's a lot of books that we're selling, right? 826 million physical copies, but that's just the physical copies. That doesn't include the e-books that people are buying now, right? Anyone buy any e-books out there this year? Yeah, okay, we got some takers. Another 200 million e-books sold. So there's over a billion books sold last year, and there was upwards of 2 million, just 2 million new book titles just last year. Isn't that crazy? Published worldwide. 2 million brand new titles, new stuff. I mean, I can't read all that. Maybe we got some good readers in here. Maybe you guys have read a lot of books this year, but we're going to have trouble keeping up with all the stuff we need to know, right? Although some of you have no problem keeping up on social media. You're just like, wow, what's going on? You know everything that's going on social media, huh? Maybe that was a bad joke. I'm not a social media guy. Just a joke. Just a joke. Take it easy. Take it easy. Jim, they want you back like now. They want you back now. On that note, okay, listen to this final statement that John wrote about Jesus from the book of John. Okay, this is the last statement in the book of John. It says this: Jesus did many other things as well. Many other things. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. That sounds like a lot of stuff, right? Does that sound like a lot to you? What other things did Jesus do? And here's my point. My point is that we will never fully know, right, the extent of Jesus' ministry on earth. There is just too much that he did. And you might say, well, Pastor, it's just a passing comment that John made. It's an exaggeration by what John said there. How could the whole world be filled, you know, with all the books that would be written about him? Don't be ridiculous. But John and the other gospel writers would have had so much material to dig through. If you think about all that Jesus did on this earth. So much to dig through that they actually had to pick and choose what they included in their Gospels. Of course, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? And that's why they selected specific stories to share with us about who Jesus really is. Each story revealing something about his true nature or character. Maybe a fulfillment of prophecy, right? There were reasons for these, each one purposeful in helping us to understand him better. But John also wanted to know, it's almost like he didn't really even have to write this, but he tacked it on. He wanted us to know there was a lot more. There was a lot more ahead that Jesus did. It had to be left out, but there was a lot more. And so today in chapter 23 of the story, we're just going to start to take the lid off, right, of what Jesus did on earth. I mean, I will not do it justice. I'm going to crack the surface today. And in the coming weeks, we'll learn more. Of course, this means I can never fit into this tiny little sermon everything that Jesus did. But I want to give you an idea today of what his ministry was like in between all the more well-known stories that we know, we've come to know and love. And so what does a lot more look like? What is a lot? Is it a lot? Or is it like a little a lot? A lot? I think so too. It's a lot. And sometimes, you know, maybe we picture in our mind how things were when it comes to Jesus on earth. Maybe we learn some things from, you know, watching something on one of our media platforms, right? Or something like that. And, you know, maybe you've been to Sight and Sound Theater and seen Jesus. But actually, that's playing right now. I've seen that. It's really good. You know, and he's like preaching like 20 people over here, but it's supposed to represent more, you know, all that stuff. Maybe that's what you have in your mind. But listen to this. This is what his early ministry was like. And it absolutely blew my mind when I reread this scripture. And I just want to share it with you. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, it says this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Like everybody. That was a good sound effect, I think. That's the healing sound effect, I guess. I don't know. He healed all of them. Verse 25, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. His ministry was massive. Was that in your head? It wasn't like, that doesn't always stick in my head. It was massive. And there are some things that really strike me about this passage. And so I'm just going to share a few of my observations from this, okay? One, news spread about him all over, where? Do you remember? Syria. Syria, say that with me. Say Syria. Are you serious? Come on, that was. Are you serious? Is Syria? I mean, what is that all about? That's not Israel. That's not Israel. How did Syria get in on this? I thought Jesus was here for the Jews, right? How did Syria get in on this? That's outside the borders of what we know to be Israel. Well, you can see in this scripture that Jesus was in Galilee. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, Galilee. That quaint little town by the lake. Yeah? No? Yes? No? No? Galilee was actually the entire northern region of Israel. It was not a town. Right? But we just think that stuff. And I thought that too. I honestly did. I had to learn this stuff. It was the whole northern region of Israel. Nazareth, now there's a town. That's where Jesus was born, right? Or, no, that's not where he was born. That's where he grew up. It was a town in Galilee. The disciples were Galileans, meaning they were from this region of Israel. Now, let me give you an idea of population size here. Here in Northwest Arkansas, we have over 500,000 people in our region, right? That's 500,000. I'm including Benton County, Madison County, and Washington counties, right? And if you've ever been ticked by some driver out there on the road, right? Well, it's one of those 500,000 people, all right? Galilee had an estimated population of 3 million people. That's a lot more than I thought. The region of Galilee. All right, that's a little bit bigger than, in population size, the city of Chicago, the third largest city in the U.S. All right? I think Chicago actually might need Jesus to come, like soon. You agree with that, most of you? It's okay if you don't. All right, we see Jesus begin calling people to follow him early in his ministry from Galilee. Here's an example. He called Philip. He called Philip to follow him. In turn, Philip went and got this guy named Nathanael. Remember that? And Philip found Nathanael, verse 45, John 1, we've got that, and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What did Nathanael say? "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Think about that answer. Why did he say that? Why would he say that, right? This is a hint of what people thought about this whole region. Galilee was way up north. It was the most northern part, and it bordered on Syria. All right, so you have Judea down here, right? Mediterranean Sea, I'm doing it backwards. Mediterranean Sea, Judea. Okay, that's not helping. Judea was down here, Samaria was next, right? And then you had Galilee, right? Jerusalem's down here in Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. And then you have the Jordan, and then you had the areas over there. And so there's some serious history up here in Galilee. This was part of the former northern kingdom. You remember that? The roots of division in this part of Israel go way back in the story. We went over this. When the kingdom was divided. This is pre-summer stuff here at Hope Church. You may recall that Solomon's son, you remember his name? Anybody? Solomon's son? Rehoboam. Good job. Good job. Rehoboam, he reigned over Judah. But there was another guy, similar name. Jeroboam. Good job. An outsider to the family, reigned over the northern kingdom. And then things quickly spiraled downward, right? Because the northern kingdom, Jeroboam had set up these alternate places of worship. And so he did that so the people would never have to go back down here to Jerusalem. And that divide was created, and it went really deep. And that eventually, because he set up these altars, it led people's hearts astray, and they got into idolatry. And in turn, by the will of God, they were conquered by their neighbors from the north, the Assyrians, from Syria. And so, back to northwest Arkansas here, where we're at, right? It's a booming place, right? Have you seen the new Walmart campus going up? Apparently nobody else can build right now because they've got all the concrete. That's what I've been hearing. That's great. I like it. They're building fast. Let's go. Let's go, guys. Come on. Here in northwest Arkansas, most of our growth can be attributed to what is called in-migration, okay? And it just means this. It just means that a bunch more people stayed here last year than moved out. About 11,000 more, okay? So that puts us at close to one of the top 100 growing regions in America, right here, right? So congratulations. Next year, you will have 11,000 more people on the road for you. So I guess we got to be thankful for all that construction, right? Trying to get ahead of it. The northern kingdom was kind of like that. Galilee had a similar thing happening to it. The northern kingdom was relocated to Syria, and then so all these non-Jews took over their land, and they resettled in the area. And Galilee then, therefore, became known. This was the new nickname of Galilee, Galilee of the Gentiles. That's what it was called. And they were a despised people, because of their history. They were despised by the Jews. They were considered uneducated people without pure bloodline anymore. And now we know why Nathanael said that. Can anything good come from Nazareth? And he was a Galilean, right? It was so ingrained in him that he was despised by the rest of the world that he couldn't even believe it himself. Right? They were held in such low esteem by the rest of Israel that this was his first reaction. To say, what? You found the Messiah? Yeah, right. Not from that place. How can we hold someone who we're supposed to hold in the highest esteem who comes from those dumpy beginnings? That's the true nature of this. But I want you to listen to this next scripture, okay? Listen to this. Matthew chapter 4, 13. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. This is also in Galilee, okay? Which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Okay, this is Isaiah. This is hundreds of years before it was called Galilee of the Gentiles. When he wrote this, it was Israel. It wasn't Galilee of the Gentiles. But in Jesus' time, it was Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen to verse 16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This despised place was exactly where Jesus wanted to begin his ministry. Jesus loves despised places. I don't know if you realize this. I didn't realize this till I studied for this particular sermon. Did you know that 11 of the 12 disciples were Galilean? There was only one who wasn't from Galilee. You know who that was? I bet you can guess. It was Judas. Judas was from a much higher esteemed place. He was from Judah. His family name suggests he was from there. He was held in much higher esteem. All these other guys were despised, but we know what Judas did. But Jesus began in the darkest, most despised area in the world. The lowest of the low, he turned in to leaders of leaders. And you might wonder, why did God do it that way? And this is the reason, because he identifies with those who the world rejects. And if you feel that way today, I'm just telling you right now, your Savior identifies with that. He knows how you feel. This is why it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Because he was from Galilee. Therefore, news spread all throughout Syria, right? Because it was right there. It's just crazy. Here's the second observation I had about this too. There were large crowds. Large crowds. Not only from Galilee, but where else did it say? The Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan. And they followed him. They followed Jesus. This is not really translated the best way here in this version. It would be better said, great multitudes. It's a better translation. Great multitudes were coming from all over Israel. This is Galilee of the Gentiles. We don't hang out with those guys, right? It's a despised place, and yet people were flooding into Galilee from all over Israel. A few people? No, large crowds. Great multitudes. How large? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but what I can tell you is that Jerusalem alone had an estimated 100,000 people living in it. Just Jerusalem. That's just one city. And so when you're talking about Judea, the rest of that region, the Decapolis, which means 10 cities in the regions across the Jordan, you're talking hundreds of cities and towns representing millions of people. Now, that doesn't sound like 20 people, does it? 100 people? It doesn't sound like that. Large crowds means thousands of people were flooding into Galilee to see Jesus. And what did Jesus do? The third observation. Should we do that again? He healed them all. All of them. There was one incident where Jesus is just by a lake. And because the crowd was so big, right? There was this crowd, and he told his disciples, "Get a boat. I need a boat." It's because the crowd was crowding him, and people were pushing forward with diseases. They were literally thousands of people, and tons of them had diseases, and they were pushing against each other. Remember that whole thing called social distancing? No, it didn't happen here. Nobody cared. They were like, "I need Jesus," right? That is the reality of what happened in Jesus' ministry. I told you we're just cracking the surface today. Jesus came to heal. This is one of the things he came to do. He came to heal everybody. He came to heal our infirmities. He came to heal our relationships. He came to heal our broken hearts, to restore your wasted years, to restore life, you name it. He came to do that. And we are so privileged to know some of what Jesus did on this earth through Scripture. Amen to that? We get to know some. We're so blessed to have it all here in God's Word. That's in your hands or on your phone. But it's here for us. And I just want you to know that of those 2 million titles that are coming out this year, you've got to make sure you spend some time in the most important book in your life, in God's Word. Amen. This is really just a glimpse of this, of the things He did. There's so much more. And I want to tell you today, He is eager to reveal Himself to the world. He is eager to reveal Himself to you, just as He was then. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to pray. He's waiting for you to get into His Word. Right? He's waiting for you to share that burden on your heart. Maybe you need to share that today with someone at our church. We just had a purpose class this morning. We were talking about biblical community and how it's the community of believers that does most of the ministry. And there are people here that want to pray with you. But you just got to speak up. And we'll do it. I'll do it after the service. If you want to come up here and pray, I will pray with you. Others will come. In Luke chapter 3, I'm going to close with just a few more comments. Luke chapter 3, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was praying. Heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. There are tangible signs in God's word of who Jesus was. The truth is that he was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he poured himself out on great multitudes of people. We could have volumes written about his life, his ministry on this earth. But what I want you to see today is that he spent much of his time with ordinary people, ordinary human needs, just like ours. He was a friend to people outside the mainstream culture, outside the mainstream religion. And he called them out of darkness into his light to follow him. And his work is not finished. The ministry of Jesus Christ continues to spread throughout the earth, and it continues to be written, and it continues to be written through your life. And he is not finished with you. We got to find out what we're called to do, don't we? And you might be feeling like you're in darkness right now. You might be feeling that's how you feel. Your life's been dark. That's where Jesus loves to bring the light. The darkest place. Who in here has done the worst thing? Don't answer that. You're the one Jesus wants to meet with first. That's what he came to do, right? Find those in darkness. There's no place too dark, and there's no one too despised that he won't come to you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And while I'm praying, I'm going to read this verse. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you for coming to the dark places. Lord, please come in. We invite you in to the dark places in our lives. That is so hard to do, to let you in. But God, would you bring your light there? Nathanael said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And the answer is yes. Because God chose to have his son, the Savior of the world, come from there. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you come to those who are despised and you've chosen us to bring a light to this dark world. We love you. You are our Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Pray with someone. Talk to someone. Introduce yourself to someone today, okay? Let's be the church. Amen.